This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Eric Osbeck.
Just won the night, didn't he?
I take offense to your comment to start tonight's show off by you stating the only difference between Madonna and myself is that I start the show on time. I believe there's a significant difference between her and myself. Just saying. Welcome to the OHIO podcast, everybody. Good to have you with us tonight. That handsome devil over there in the cool shades, that's the wild man himself, Chris Wilds. And we're happy to have JR in the know with us tonight. He might be bouncing out a little early because, well, there's a little thing tomorrow called the NCAA National Championship game for college basketball. Congratulations to Big Mac Mary and her Purdue Boilermakers, who are in the national championship representing the Big Ten. So good to have Big Mac with us tonight. And she wants JR to know that he is looking good.
But by next week, he should be looking even better, Eric.
Why is that, Chris?
Well, because there's a certain little gift in the mail for him.
Oh, woo! So are we saying
a lot more next week?
Wait, what was? What did you say, JR?
I said I'm going to zoom in my camera a lot more next week.
you got to start like you're walking the aisle, man. Like only you can do. You know, with the robe, you got to have yourself some little Speedos on there and.
Oh my gosh. So there is a game that everybody's talking about Madonna now over in the chat. There is a game that has, it's an 80s wrestling game. There's a character on there called Mandonna. That's not my new nickname. Do not take that.
You just brought that upon yourself.
I might have done that, unfortunately. So, guys, we have an interesting show tonight, but we are brought to you by FanSided and, of course, Scarlet and Game. We're the official podcast of Scarlet and Game, which is the Ohio State site for FanSided. I want all of you to do me a big favor and make sure you've got your eyes peeled to our social media sites, which Facebook, Twitter, Tuesday night. JR, there's going to be something big coming Tuesday night that you and I are a big part of, and I don't want to give it all away tonight, but I will say this. I think Chris and I, because I know you're going to be super busy Tuesday night, but Chris and I might be going live to talk about it Tuesday night, so we might do a couple different live shows this week. Plus, we have a little thing coming up Friday. It's called the Spring Game. You guys ever heard of that?
Well, it's Saturday, but yeah.
Is it Saturday? Did I say Friday?
Yeah.
Go Friday if you want, Eric.
I would like to.
We may have to get our spot, Eric.
We might have to go Friday night to get our tailgate location, which reminds me, be on the lookout. We will let everybody know Saturday morning as soon as Chris and I get there and we set up where we are located at. We will post it on Twitter. We will post it on our Facebook page. We will, with pictures, we will let you all know what parking lot we're at, where we're at for the tailgate Saturday morning. Going to have a great time. Chris and I will be working on that later this week. Some news down the road as well that I'm going to post here from Ryan Wickerham. Football camp is all set, guys, and there are a few Buckeye players. I did see that coming. Hope you guys will be there. Of course we're going to be there, Ryan. We told you we would.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't, also, we got Billy Bob from Billy Bob's Backyard Barbecue in the house tonight, and I have this little ditty. Check that out from Billy Bob. It is Billy Bob's new koozies. These things are awesome.
Is that a Billy Bob Bud Light just right there in the koozie there?
That's an Eric's sugar-free monster because I have diabetes. So, no, that's not a Billy Bob Bud Light just right. But it one would fit in that. So I want to give Billy Bob a shout-out for sending me that. He actually sent me two of them. So appreciate that. We will make sure that – Billy Bob, I might actually make one of these a prize if that's all right with you. Four Horsemen, where will the meeting place be on Saturday? Probably somewhere around the St. John Arena is where we're shooting for, because our normal spot doesn't exist anymore close to the stadium. They have the parking lots around the stadium tore up. So we will send pictures out on social media on where we're at. So follow us on Facebook and or Twitter, and we will let you know Saturday morning as soon as we get there. Okay, my man? Love to meet you. Love to meet up with a bunch of you. I know a lot of scoopers are going to be heading over Saturday to I think it's Saturday or Friday. It might be Friday. That's where I might have got it from, to Buffalo Wild Wings for a meetup there. But Dylan Kuhn, football isn't even on my radar. No kidding. I hope not. You got a little big game tomorrow, man.
Let's give him this one, Eric. I'm not even
a bitch shit. Larry Daniels sending Central Florida sunshine for the spring game. Thank you, but it's supposed to be beautiful Saturday.
You know what? 65 and sunny, I think I saw on the 65 and
that is gorgeous. That's
better than that day we were out there cornholing in the rain, Eric. Playing cornhole in the rain, man. That was brutal.
That game was brutal. Went forever. We were playing like the pickup basketball game 13, where if you don't hit 24? If you don't hit the number 24, you go back to 13. That's what we were doing in cornhole. We played like a 2-hour game. oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, JR, you're welcome to come as well, says Ryan Wickerham.
Oh, excellent. I will be there.
Okay.
Least for a little bit. We're coming on Saturday, and so it just depends on how long the drive will be and stuff like that. And then, you know, I have a 10-month-old and a 2.5-year-old, so we'll see how that operates as well.
Do you have any sense left?
Not much.
Not much? Your wife must be an amazing person.
She is.
To let you do this with that age group, man.
And my parents are going to be there too, and you know they want to see the grandkids. So
there you go, my man. All right, let's dive into some stuff tonight, guys, that's better than just what we're talking about here. So let's go ahead and throw this one out there. So with the spring game coming up, guys, I want to know from you all, what will you be watching for? What are you excited to see? Maybe it's a position group. Maybe it's a position battle. Maybe it's a rumor you've heard and you want to see it in person. But what are you most excited to seeing on Saturday at the spring game? Chris, I'm going to start with you, my man.
Well, I'm going to have my stopwatch out again, Eric. Because last year what we saw was the quarterback getting pressured very, very quickly. Typically, there was under 2 seconds to actually throw.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see some improvement from that offensive line, because you know what? That defensive line has not gotten any worse. So they're going to need to step it up. I need to see that we're meshing on that offensive line, because let's face it, it doesn't matter who we have at quarterback. It doesn't matter how great the running back room is. If we're not opening holes and getting blocks, it's not going to matter. So I need to see that improvement on the line. I'm hoping, from everything I hear, it is going well. But, you know, I just need to see that improvement on the line. And other than that, the two biggest things I'm looking forward to are Caleb Williams and, of course, Jeremiah Smith. Just seeing what he's got, because from everything we hear, it's phenomenal.
excuse me. Sorry about that. Eric Osbeck agrees with you, Chris. He's ready to see that offensive line. Jay Thompson agrees with you about JJ. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Jar Happiness, good to see you tonight, my friend. Gave up three safeties at student appreciation. Wow.
Yes. Yes, they did.
That ain't good.
And I believe a couple of them were on consecutive series.
Let's also remember who we have on the defensive line, though. I'm not trying to stick up for the offensive line and say it's no big deal, but like Tyleek, JT, Jack Sawyer, let's be honest, this is the best defensive line in the nation. They're going up against, they're not going to see a better defensive line than what they're seeing in practice.
KP said, just excited to see the whole team out at the shoe together for the first time, the beginning of a great season. JR, what are you excited to see? What are your eyes going to be on Saturday?
Yeah, I just want to see Will Howard and Devin Brown, most of all. I want to see how that is shaping up. I'm excited to actually see Devin Brown in a spring game, providing he's actually there and healthy for this one. And also Julian Sayin. I've heard a lot of hype about him and just how quick his release is and how he's able to read the field and, you know, just everything about him. So even though he's not going to be the starter or anything like that, I am excited to see Julian Sayin throw and see what all the hype is about with him. And most of all, I'm just looking for positives in the spring game here. There's whenever something happens, you look at it and you say, oh my gosh, why did that position group do so bad or something like that. In the spring game, you're going to have every Michigan fan watching this thing, trying to pick it apart and say, oh, your DBs stink. And it's like, no, actually, our wide receiver is just really good. Oh, your offensive line stinks. Well, maybe, but our defensive line is just really good. So I'm just going to be looking for the positives as much as I possibly can, because if not, I might go crazy. And, I try not to go crazy too often.
Billy Bob says you need just a little bit more volume in your mic, and I appreciate that. Thanks for letting us know. And
all right, I put it a little bit higher.
If any of us are too loud or too soft, please let us know. Here's what I'm learning. My headphones picks everything up perfect. And I don't always – until I hear the playback, I don't know who's too low or too high. It's in my headphones. So I got really good headphones apparently. It just makes everything great. So I appreciate your help in the chat. Eric Osbeck, this is interesting. Something that we won't see until the season starts. Will Coach Day have a fire in his belly like at Notre Dame, or will he be the Coach Day of the bowl game? Be on the lookout for a new T-shirt that we have coming your way.
Have we got it on order?
Not yet, but it's going to be ordered this hopefully next week. Too much going on, but that'll be nice.
Get those super chats in so we can get those printed up.
Dylan, our friends from the other Big Ten programs, I like how he says programs, allowed at the game. Is that a Connor Stallions situation?
Dude, I'll get you your own shades. We'll be good.
I wish Connor Stallions would come to the Ohio State spring game and sit in the stands.
He wouldn't leave. No, he wouldn't make not. It wouldn't make it out.
No, he would not.
Jay, I want Chris to get back on the bandwagon next weekend. Jay,
You need to be listening. I've been pretty doggone positive for the last couple weeks.
Jay, go watch the video for our members only that I made. I actually made this guy say, if it's true, he's back on the bandwagon.
So if I was never off the bandwagon. God.
You were hanging on because we were dragging you along, Chris.
I have been critical, but I have never, ever stopped being a fan. Not once. Not even thought about it.
Donald Hoffer, second. Are the safeties due to trying new things with the O-line? Also, it don't help matters for the offense with our D-line being that good. JR, I don't think they're trying new things. I just think that this is just who they are. Like I've heard Jimmy Simmons actually has had a great offseason, that he's looking a lot stronger and more athletic. But it's so hard because we thought this is what we thought last year. I remember Chris and I thinking, we had this debate last year. Does the offensive line look so bad because they're so bad, or is it because the defensive line's so good? It's because they were so bad. The defensive line was not that great. I mean, they were good, and they got better as the year went on, but they didn't start the year off like we thought they were going to.
Let's also remember, Eric, I mean, they may not be trying anything new, but there's a lot of new guys. There's a lot of new guys behind center taking first-team snaps, and that's definitely going to have an impact on whether or not, you know, some things happen that get into safety. You know, they're still – these guys are still learning the position. Whether it's Will Howard, who's got experience and is learning how Ohio State does it, or whether it's young guys like Devin or Lincoln or Julian or Nolan, you know, these guys are all very limited in their experience in this program.
I will say about the offensive line, again, I feel icky, you know, even saying stuff like this, because I, you know, far from me to, you know, defend the offensive line, but let's also just remember who was taking snaps last year and how jitty he was in the pocket. And I mean, the dude had no pocket awareness at all. So, like, again, I'm not trying to defend the offensive line here, but hopefully if Will Howard is a quarterback, which I've seen him play, I do like his pocket presence. Hopefully we have a quarterback back there who actually knows how to move around in the pocket and not separate the ball and get a fumble every time he gets hit.
Mike, spring game nationally televised, Fox Sports. Time to show out. O-line will be critical. See you guys Saturday. Wargo! Wargo's coming.
Mike's coming, all right.
Wargo, I will be in contact with you this week. Thanks for chiming in, man. I wasn't sure if you were coming or not, because I know that the alumni club of Pittsburgh is actually watching the show like it's a game. So yeah. Since it is nationally televised. But it's awesome you're coming. Let me know what day you're coming in, Mike. Let me know if you're coming in on Friday. Dylan Kuhn, members only as an AKA OnlyFans. Maybe next Sunday night. We better receive some super chats next Sunday for JR's performance. That's all I'm saying. Oh my goodness. Jimmy and Donovan creating chemistry. Is what he's looking for. Chip Kelly's scheme. Thank you, Sean. Finally, we got to one that I like, that I'm with. Chip Kelly's scheme will help the offensive line. I don't know how much of the scheme we're going to see come Saturday. It's going to be very vanilla.
Yeah.
It's going to be like Purdue's Matt head coach. Painter. Matt Painter. It's going to be very vanilla. I want to see – here it is. I want to see – Optimus Prime, Jeremiah Smith, is it for real? Is the hype for real? And that brings me to my next thing I want to talk about. I don't think it's any doubt anymore. I don't think it's a debate. Yes or no? I don't think it's a debate. Jeremiah Smith, a.k.a. Optimus Prime, is starting game one. Yes? You guys agree?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any question to it at this point. The kid, JR, the kid may be the best receiver in the country as a freshman.
JR, I know you know some more insiders than what we know, but everyone that I'm hearing who does have insiders are saying they're all being told the same thing. The hype is real with this kid. Like, it's not just hype. Like, he is that good. Is that what you're hearing as well?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best wide receivers on the team. I just go back to what I've gone back to time and time again, and I'm willing to eat my words. I made a video about it over on the Voice of College Football for Mark Rogers, and I predicted he wouldn't start game one. I think I'm probably going to be wrong on that, but I wouldn't say 100%, because we have to remember who is in charge of the offense. Chip Kelly and Ryan Day do not historically start true freshmen on game one. And so do I think that he has the talent to be a starter game one? Heck yeah. Oh yeah. This dude is ultra talented, is a game changer every time he gets in. Do I think that Ryan Day and Chip Kelly are going to bounce him over a Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, Emeka Ibuka, or anything like that? I don't know. It's not a question about talent for me. It's a question of, is Ryan Day and Chip Kelly, are they brave enough to start a freshman game one? He's going to be starting at some point during the season. If not game one, it might be game two. But are they going to be willing to do that? I don't know. It depends on kind of how the structure shapes out, and it depends on if Ryan Day and Chip Kelly are brave enough to do it.
Vol Fanatic Show in the house. Good to see you, my friend. How are we doing? We're doing pretty good, my man. Doing pretty good. Yes. I was thinking about this very thing, JR. I think Ohio State has four starting wide receivers.
Maybe five.
Who's the fifth?
Bryson Rogers, really, yes. Really good.
He's been impressing at camp. Everything I've heard, yeah. He's been amazing.
He is awesome.
Ooh, okay.
There's a reason he came back and Brian Hartline didn't lose him.
This is going to be a five-man rotation. These guys are all going to see the field every game.
Yeah. And Jar Happiness brings up a very good point. Early schedule is very weak this year. Yeah, we're playing the Jim Harbaugh Memorial, I can take three games off to start the season schedule is what we're doing. Okay? It's weak. I said four. Okay, let's say five, but I'm going to say four. My idea is that he doesn't start game one. He puts Brandon Ennis in there, Tate Martell, and Carnell Tate. Gosh.
Why would you bring up the Tate or Tot?
That's a good question. Why I brought him up. Yeah, I wasn't thinking about him today. I promise. Yeah.
Carnell Tate. Is he in the transfer portal?
No, I think he's too old for that now. Speaking of OnlyFans, Tate Martell, what you doing? at least his sister.
Oh my.
So then of course the Emeka Egbuka, and then he would rotate them to where JJ starts the next week, and then. You know, Egbuka is the only one who would start every game, and then he would rotate those three. But you're telling me if there's five, now that throws a kink into my theory.
Well, I think that's a five-man rotation. I don't think it's a five-man starter. Well, I think five men to rotate. I don't think you necessarily have five different guys who are going to start this season. I agree with you. I think there will be four different guys who start this season.
This is interesting. We're gonna have to explore this topic with you sometime. We wanted Carnell Tate so badly. It was a great recruiting battle. That would be fun. I love recruiting stories, so that'd be fun to have that debate with you, man. That'd be cool. I think he starts. If he's that good, you can't keep him off the field. I mean, I literally in the headline put, you know, there's no doubt he's going to start. Is he the best wide receiver on the team? There is that rumble. I am hearing that rumble going around. He's the best one on the team.
And that's scary considering Emeka Egbuka
is a top 10 draft pick, more than likely. Yeah.
The only pushback I'll have to that is Trey Sermon. Trey Sermon in 2020 was undoubtedly the best back in that backfield. And that's no disrespect to the other backs that were back there. Master Teague and those guys, they were great too. But Trey Sermon was on another level when he finally got into the game that season. And he didn't start, until game three or four in like a six-game season.
Okay, but here, I would push back with this. Ryan Day wasn't coaching for his job in 2020.
No, he wasn't. You're right. But is he coaching for his job this year?
Oh, absolutely.
We think so.
Jay had a – by the way, Eric Gosbeck, great comment. I'm going to save that. We might make that the closing segment of the whole show today. Jay had an interesting comment. See if I can find it, where he compared Jeremiah Smith and his freshman season to David Boston. And I went ahead and pulled up David Boston's freshman stats, and let's talk about that. Mike Bauer, Smith's size is a pure mismatch, let alone his skill set. Yes, which is where the David Boston, I think, comparisons come from.
Yeah.
David Boston's rookie year was in 1996. He played in all 11 games. Would anybody like to take a stab at his numbers in 96 as a freshman? Let's start with receptions, because that'll lead you down the path of yards. How many receptions do you think David Boston had as a freshman in 1996, Chris? Start with you.
A different type of offense, so it's not going to be a huge absurd number.
Correct.
I'm going to say 40.
Lower. Next guest, JR.
I was going to say 32.
Lower. Chris, back to you.
21.
Higher, JR.
28.
Higher, Chris.
29.
Nailed it. 29. 29 receptions. How many yards in those 29 receptions did he have? I'll start with you, JR.
Oh, back then, I don't know. Two 80?
Higher. Chris.
390.
Higher. JR.
450.
Lower. Chris.
430.
Nailed it. 29 receptions, 430 yards, 5 touchdowns in his rookie year. Jeremiah Smith does better than that.
Oh, easily.
Oh, yeah.
It's a different offense. Like I said, it's, you know, we didn't throw the ball near that much when David Boston was a freshman.
96. Joe Germain and Stanley Jackson?
Stanley Jackson. Yep.
Will Howard, I think, is got a better arm than – you know what? Will Howard might be a good comparison to Joe Germain. Now that I think about it, other than Will Howard's bigger and might be slightly more athletic.
You know what a good comparison is, Eric, and you don't want to hear me say it. He's very JT Barrett-esque.
Oh, no.
I think his arm is better than JT.
His arm's a little better than JT, but yeah.
I don't think he's a fullback trying to play quarterback. All right. What about this? Is he somewhere between Craig Krenzel and JT Barrett?
I think he's gonna be better than Craig.
At what? Throwing?
Well, number one, running. I think he's gonna be better in that way.
Now remember, Craig Krenzel was sneaky good.
No, he was.
He was.
But they didn't run read options with him and stuff like that. Yeah, like I mean,
Howard's more physical too. He's a bigger cat than that.
Right. I'm just saying, like,
he's bigger.
Craig could get out and run and get himself a first down or get some yards, but I think they're gonna be like doing the triple option where the ball could go to Trey, Quinshon, or Will Howard. I didn't see that as much with Craig Krenzel as I think we're going to see it with Will Howard.
I think Sean Schrock and Jay Thompson are both correct in their statements.
Yeah.
Germain was more accurate than Howard. Germain had more touch but less heat on his fastball. Yeah. If we're going to make a baseball comparison to quarterback, I agree with that. Jar Happiness. I watched JT lead the Buckeyes past Penn State my first time in the shoe. Ah, was that the come from behind game, brother? Is that the one you're talking about where we came in the fourth quarter?
That was a beautiful game.
I was at that game. It was incredible. I still have the ticket with the picture in my basement. It's fantastic. That was the game, man. That's awesome. I was at that one too. I see him more as a faster 12 gauge.
He doesn't have the cannon that Cardale had.
Yeah, I don't think he quite has the arm strength.
Man, we are really struggling to find somebody that is really comparable.
I still think JT's the closest comparison. I really do.
I hope not. Sorry. I don't know, man. Here's the thing. All right, let's circle this back around, because this is what I'm getting at, the point I'm trying to make. It's awesome that we have all these great wide receivers. It's awesome that we have these amazing running backs. But if we can't get them the football and we can't block and make holes for these guys, at the end of the day, the same two things that held us back last year, the same two things that Chris and I highlighted and stressed from the spring game a year ago are the same two things that we are talking about and debating and worried about this very moment. The offensive line and who's the starting quarterback. The same debate we had this year on this day on this exact show, and we're having the same discussion today. So it's great that Jeremiah Smith might be the best wide receiver on the team as a true freshman and might be a possible Heisman candidate down the road. But if you can't get him the football and you can't make holes for these two stud running backs, and everybody's saying Chip's scheme's going to help with that, it's still football 101. You've got to beat the guy across from you who you're lined up across from. Am I right or wrong, guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If the offense
scheme helps, though.
It does, but if the
you can't
the offensive line doesn't win their battles, it's not going to matter.
You can't scheme your way out of bad offensive line play. I'm sorry.
Correct.
You can't.
We can't have a left tackle who is jumping offside or jumping false start in every play.
Juck on Bucks is in the house. Good show. He's got a great podcast show, by the way, guys. Our YouTube channel. Go check that out. He agrees with you, Chris. So you've got someone else who does this for fun as well, and he agrees with you, my man. So I don't know. I just don't see it, but
you don't want to see it, Eric.
Hey, if Howard but can
this
become
is
a,
this is what I will say though. Criticize JT all you want, Eric. What was his record versus Michigan?
Again,
now, granted, he was bailed out on one of those
times. He was butt was saved twice. So don't give me that.
At the end of the day, what was the record?
4-0, but he wasn't he also, what was the score when he left the game with an injury in Ann Arbor?
Granted, I'm not saying he didn't get bailed out.
We were losing, bro.
We were.
Jeremy Thomas, my buddy Jeremy's in the house tonight. I think he's agreeing with me. Yep. By the way, if Jeremy's coming to the tailgate, we're going to play a joke. So Jeremy's about, I don't know, what are you, man? 6'5", 6'6"? Was a stud athlete coming out of high school, and I want to play a joke where we have Jeremy start signing autographs and see how many people, if they walk by, will think he's a former player and see how many autographs you can sign, Jeremy. I think that'll be a lot of fun. We'll make sure that happens. I'll bring a Sharpie with me. We'll just start having you sign stuff, make you famous. Everybody like, oh, that's Jeremy Thomas. That's former. That's Jeremy Thomas, former Buckeye. See how many people will go over and get your autograph. It'll be fun.
We can even grab an old Mike Thomas jersey and throw it on.
There you go. Nice. Oh, my gosh. JR, talk me off the ledge, man. You're trying to tell me that the offensive line, if the offensive line is bad as it was last year, do we win a national championship? Can you think Chet Kelly can scheme us into a national championship with that offensive line we had last year?
Yeah, I think so. And I also think that at the end of the day, like, I know this is blasphemous, and I know that I was the one ripping the offensive line more than anybody else after the Mizzou game. But, guys, the offensive line that played the best against Michigan this year was Ohio State. I mean, Alabama's offensive line played worse than Ohio State's did. You know?
We brought their center and we put them in our offensive line.
But you also have to remember those snapping issues. That's Ryan Day says, at least, which, you know, take him for what he says if you want. But he says that's more of a quarterback issue in the way that his snap cadence is going, rather than, you know, the, because in reality, he didn't have those snapping issues the other years when he was a starting center when he had Bryce Young. So I don't know. I'm just looking at it and I'm saying there were pieces of the offensive line last year that I liked, that I thought was good. I think Josh Freier was better than people gave him credit for last year. I think that Josh Simmons didn't get the chance to go through an entire spring with Ohio State. He just kind of came in after the spring and was like, dude, you're the new left tackle. Get in there because we don't have anybody else, which, again, that's something we can blame Justin Fry about. Everybody knows I'm not a huge Justin Fry fan, especially after that Missouri game. But like the way I look at it, I think Donnie is good. I think Donnie is solid at left guard. I think Josh Simmons, after having a full spring, is going to be much better. After being in the weight room, I think that he's leaner. I think that he looks better. He doesn't look like he's going to be possibly as slow. He looks like he's going to be quicker with his feet. And honestly, I'm okay with Josh Freier at tackle or right guard. Now, do I think he's probably going to be better at right guard? Probably. But would I rather have a guy with experience out at right tackle that maybe he is a little stiff, maybe he doesn't have the best feet in the world, but he has experience out there? I think I would. I'd rather have a new guy at right guard than a new guy at right tackle, as long as that new guy is not, I don't even know if I want to say his name because that might be kind of mean, but the guy that started the game, the bowl game. But Seth McLaughlin or Carson Hinsman, I'm confident with either of them at center. I think Carson was a little undersized last year. I think he beefs up a little bit more. He's going to be better. I think Seth McLaughlin was a good starter when he was at Alabama. He had the snapping issues, which, again, like Ryan Day said, if you want to believe him or not, I tend to believe him, but, you know, maybe I'm just foolish. It's more of a snapping cadence issue, but I'm not saying this offensive line is going to be, you know, top five in the nation. I think it's going to be good enough to win a national championship, though, with Chip Kelly being able to scheme things up.
Enoch Vamahi, is that who you were thinking of?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I've heard he's a really nice kid, so I don't want to, like,
great family, but yeah. I'm surprised he did. I think he might be a portal guy after spring.
I hope not. I want these guys to finish out their career, but at the same time, I'm sure he wants to play, so.
Yeah.
And if he's not getting time here, that's probably what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. His brother played at Utah. I could see him jumping over to Utah, you know.
Possibly. Pretty,
yeah. Michael, dude, you just made a whole show for me. Good news for OSU fans. Almost every team in the Big Ten is probably taking a step back this year.
I don't agree with that. I think we're
about to go through the list. Because as you said, he made a whole show for me. And Eric Osbeck has a question that we needed to explore. JR, I know you got a big show coming up. So if we don't make it all through the list, just bounce if you have to go. Okay, brother?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Let's go down the list. I'm actually taking this from the basketball. So let's just start with the four out west. Washington, yes, they're going to be worse. Come on.
Yes.
Yes.
UCLA just lost their head coach. He's calling plays for us. Yes, they're taking a step back.
Yes. Deshaun Foster, first-year head coach. No way they do any better.
Chris?
I'm with JR on that one. I don't think there's any way they improve.
USC. I think they're going to be about the same.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They got a pretty quality quarterback there. I mean, you know, Caleb Williams set out that bowl game, and he –
I apologize. It's Skyler, not Michael. Thank you, Skyler. I think they're going to be – here's the thing. Their defense cannot be any worse than what they were last year.
Their defense will be better. I don't know.
Do they still have Scooter back here at safety?
Right.
Their defense will be better, but their schedule is like second in toughness to Florida, and that's about the only one. Their schedule is tough.
It's brutal.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see them go 8-4.
Okay. Let's see. Oregon. I think they're going to be
Oregon's a good team.
I'm going to say step forward, actually.
They'll at least be the same, if not a step better.
I think we'll see them in the Big Ten Championship.
That's what I was going to talk about after you leave. So, yep. I don't want my guy taking the blame for bad takes. Ah, Skyler, that's a good take, man. Good take. All right, so there's the four out west. Let's look at the 14 that we have that we all know. Purdue, It's got to be a step forward second year under their new head coach.
I agree.
And they, I mean, hopefully their whole offensive line doesn't get hurt this year.
Exactly. Yeah, they were.
Well, we put three of them out, I think, didn't we, Eric?
Well, and no, one of them was like on his first play, and he was a backup, and he came in and got hurt on the first play. I felt terrible.
Yeah.
Illinois.
They're going to be the same. Illinois. Yeah, Illinois is Illinois.
JR?
Birdie will do okay.
Luke Altmyer will be better this year, so they'll have a better quarterback, but they're losing Jazon Newton. I think Illinois will probably be about what they were. Maybe a game or two better, but not much.
Nebraska, better.
Better. Much better.
They'll make a bowl game. 7-5, 8-4 at least.
Northwestern, Cinderella. I'm not going to doubt the man after what he did last year, so I'll say same.
That's my thought was same as well. I don't think I can give him credit, given what he's got to face this year, but...
Was it 8-4? Was that what he did last year?
Or 8-5. 8-5. 7-5 and won the bowl game.
Yeah, it was solid.
Wait a minute. It's not Perdon. Remember we called him Perdiddle?
Perdiddle.
Perdiddle and Perdudu was the names that we gave him Friday night. those were great. Okay, Wisconsin. I think they're going to be better.
Yeah.
Second year under Fick. Come on.
Yep. I'm with you.
And I really like the coaching staff changes they made in the offseason, too. So, yeah.
Indiana. I hate this new coach.
They were 3-9. They got to be better than that. They barely beat Akron. You bring a new coach in, and he's bringing basically all of James Madison with him. They're at least 4-8.
Okay. Slightly better.
Yeah. Yeah, I get
it. Not much, but.
Which is like.
They better be 4-8. We're going to kick them out of the Big Ten if they aren't.
One of the things I loved about that giant, what was it, Power 70 conference or whatever they were talking about was that the 10 that would make up the Power 80, the bottom 10 could be relegated, and it was for the group of fives, and they would just turn them out. And I'm sitting over here going, can we do the same thing with the Big 10?
That's a great idea.
I'm all right with that. Michigan State, got to be better.
Yeah. Their coach will not be having the same shenanigans. So
yeah. By the way,
that's
I love
better at the very least.
Jeremiah Yoder's given every Big Ten team a new nickname. It's over in the chat. The Schmoozers.
Silly Cats.
The Silly Cats.
The Northeastern Silly Cats.
Them Silly Cats. Iowa, they're going to take a step back.
Yeah. And that's hard to believe given
well, they don't get the privilege of being able to somehow skip their way into the Big Ten title and represent the West anymore.
Well, that's it. The schedule in and of itself is going to be.
Yeah, by the way, do you know Kirk Ferentz only needs like I think 4 more wins to reach 200 wins at Iowa? That guy's been there since Lincoln was president. That's incredible.
Didn't we decide that he was actually at the first game at Rutgers?
Yes, he actually was a part of the rules that for Rutgers Princeton that day. Yeah, I think that's true. JR, you agree? Iowa's going to take a step back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think their defense is going to be able to do. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Next up, the Fighting PJ Flex, and look who's in the house. Our buddies over there at the Sky U Pod. Schedule aside, Gophers should be a better football team than last year. If the QB is a hit, should have a better record. Hey, I want you guys, if you guys want a great show, go check out their last episode where they talked about all the quarterbacks who might be hitting the portal, and they mentioned 3 from Ohio State that they would go after. I was like, guys, anybody else from the roster you want to try to poach? Which makes sense, I would say, in all honesty.
JR's got a tackle for you.
Great, great show. Great show, guys. I want to say same. Don't be afraid to offend.
No, they'll be better than 6-6.
I'm just trying to think it out.
Listen.
And Athan Kaliak Manis last year.
Hey, listen. It is PJ Fleck and his sockless
He'll have him rowing the boats, man.
Let's also remember, too, they're going to have Darius Taylor back, which Darius Taylor could be a top five back in the Big Ten this year. I'm not kidding you. He is extremely good. True freshman last year, was extremely good, got injured. If he stays healthy for the year, he's going to be fantastic.
Oh, gosh, I love my wife. We laughed at that video so bad last year. Remember that when they came out of the Luke? We've been waiting all winter to show you, to reveal our, to come play in front of your fans. And he opens the door and they all come out doing these weird dances. Remember that? JR, do you remember that?
I don't remember that one.
Promo. It was cringe. It was really cringe. Yeah. We laughed way too hard at that.
I can find it.
Penn State. Can you just pencil them in for 9-3 or 10-2 every single year? That's who they are.
Yeah, that is what James Franklin is.
I mean, he is same.
He is the Mike Tomlin of college football.
Just doing the same thing over.
Mike Tomlin won a Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, no That's kidding, true. Chris.
Or That's two. True. Was it one or two?
Tomlin's only got one.
Only I one, believe. Okay.
Yeah.
They're the same. I mean, they're not any worse, but they're not any better. Maryland, boy, oh, boy. The Turtles are going to take a giant step back, man.
Yeah, I don't like their QB situation at all. MJ Morris.
That team was led by Talia Tagovailoa, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think they lost some good receivers, too. So, yeah, I'm not feeling good about Maryland this year.
Rockers.
Oh. Over, yeah. Yeah, way better than last year.
You are closet. They could get closet Rutgers.
Stepped out of the closet.
No, they could get 8 wins this year. I'm not kidding you. Look at their schedule. Their schedule is not bad.
I think they are legitimately bowl eligible this year.
JR, yeah. JR,
Miami last year.
Well, but I did see that tweet that you sent to that Miami fan about that. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. I thought I was doing it for my Ohio State account. I realized it was the Big Ten HUD. I was like, oh, well, whatever.
Well, they're Big Ten. It's all good. All right, next one. That team up north known as the Ann Arbor Whore.
They're taking a step back. They're falling on their backsides.
This is the one I was waiting for. I will leave after this one. Michigan will go no better than 7-5. Book it.
Is their over under still 9.5 or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go bet on that right now if you want.
Yeah. Take Josh the under Pate's, and hammer it hard.
Josh Pate sent out a tweet saying that the biggest thing that just college football teams are putting up a war chest for are defensive linemen. And we all know that Michigan has their most coveted 3 defensive linemen up there.
That's the only players they got left, JR.
Well,
it wasn't really worth a squat.
You want a good, you guys want a good laugh? Go to 247 Sports and go look at their committing recruits for next year.
All the ones that decommitted.
I think 3? Last I checked, they had 3 3-star guys. That's it. I've never seen a national champion with that bad of a following up.
And can you imagine what's going to happen when sanctions are actually rolled out and they don't have bowl eligibility?
Unbelievable. JR, get out of here, man. Yeah. Go have a good show. We'll everybody jump over on the Big Ten Huddle after we're done here and go support that. All right, buddy?
See you guys.
Bye.
See you later, JR.
All right, Chris. One more. Ohio State.
Take the over. Hammer the over.
There you go. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about what you all are talking about on who we think is what we think is probably going to happen this season for Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship. So quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com.
I want to remind everybody that you can become an official member, receive an official member t-shirt. All you got to do is go to our YouTube page, hit the join button, put in your credit card information. It's only $3.99 a month, and you'll get a t-shirt after you've been a member for a month. You'll get free shipping on our online store. Go over to our website, theohiopodcast.com. Click the store link at the top. Head on over there, and you, if you are a member, you'll get free shipping on a lot of items, including the Silk Touch robe that JR will be sporting when he comes out of the closet next week as a Rutgers fan. Woo! Okay, Eric Osbeck.
Wow, if we could not talk about JR coming out of the closet, that would be wonderful.
Yes. Yeah, well, let's move on. Eric Osbeck, do you think that Oregon is weak this year and will be playing so many soft games before Oregon hurt us and will playing so many soft games? I believe his question is, do you think that our weak schedule will hurt us since we're playing a weak schedule before we play Oregon? And then later on, Skylar says, so you're saying it's Ohio State versus Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. And the answer to that question is yes. And here's how I think we get there.
Yeah.
Here's how I think we get there. I think Ohio State goes 11-1 in the regular season. I do believe that there might be a game that we get tripped up on. And I believe that that game will be on the road in Eugene, Oregon. I think that'll be the biggest home game that fan base has had maybe ever. If you recall, it was the COVID year. We did not get to go play there. That fan base is going to be rabid that day. They are going to – that's going to be prime time more than likely. It's not going to be a big noon kickoff because that would make it a 9 a.m. kick, so that ain't going to happen. So that if there's a game that I have circled as a possible L, it's that one. I believe we can then run the table the rest of the way, Chris. And I believe we get a rematch in Indianapolis – against the Ducks, and I think we take that win. So that's what I foresee happening. I've mentioned this before on the show, but that's my early prediction on the season is 11-1 rematch against the Ducks in Indy. We get the victory. What do you think, Chris?
I think it's completely feasible what your scenario is there. I do think it's possible that we can go into Eugene and win. And this is the main reason why. I would have said at the beginning of the season, I didn't think there was much of a chance. I mean, you got Dylan Gabriel, you got Jordan James out there at Oregon. They have a talented team. Like you said, the fan base is going to be crazy. And we were looking at going in with a bunch of young new starters. But lo and behold, half the team decided to come back. I think that plays a huge impact because we aren't dealing with a bunch of young guys who have never played a big game before. And this, I think, kind of goes to what Eric had asked about, will the soft schedule hurt us? I think it could have potentially hurt us if we were starting a bunch of newbies, definitely. Given the fact that we've got experienced players, and the fact that I think a lot of our younger players, given our soft schedule, will get significant playing time during those first three games, I look at it as an opportunity to go in healthy to Oregon in week four.
Sure.
I think that's a big thing. Going in healthy, going in with some reps under everybody's belt, and you know, I'm maybe I'm being an optimist. Maybe Jay's going to be very happy to hear me say that I'm being an optimist for once. I really feel this team can run the table. But if there is a game that they're going to get tripped up on, I agree with you. It's in Utah.
Can they run the table? Sure they can. But I'm telling you right now,
it's not going to be a common thing anymore like it has been in the past.
No.
With this new the whole new setup as far as the extended schedule, the extended playoffs, the odds of seeing any team be undefeated for 17 games, 16 games it's insane. Let's call it what it is. It's insane to think that somewhere along the way they're not going to slip up. Especially if you've got guys who are in a situation where, let's say, you've already secured your spot in the conference championship. You know that if you win that conference championship, you're going to the playoff.
Getting a bye, more than likely, yeah.
Most likely. It makes it easier to, if you have a tough game the week before, maybe sit a couple guys that you might not otherwise have set in the past to help them get healthy. I mean, there are scenarios where I don't want to say you're going to throw games, but you're not throwing them, but you're looking towards the future and what you have up ahead of you, and it might make some of your decisions different.
There is a show out in the future where we talk about how that playing this game at the end of the year might be the worst thing for Ohio State.
Yeah.
Because of what the scenario you just brought up, Chris. But I am 100% in agreement with you, Jeremiah. They cannot lose that game. Ryan Day can't lose that. Can't lose four in a row. Can't do it. Two things. Number one, Oregon is the second best roster after Ohio State in the Big Ten Conference.
Absolutely.
They just are. They're the second best roster. I believe out of all the new coaches that you're seeing in the Big Ten, they have probably the best coach that wasn't already in the Big Ten, if you know what I mean, out of all the new coaches that are coming in the conference. I believe that that Ohio State, can they run the table? Absolutely they can. I just, in my early scenario, I'm thinking if there's a game, it's that one. So when Jeremiah says, am I willing to admit I was wrong if they win that game in Eugene? Let's hold on. Yes, but let's hold off on one thing. I reserve a right to change my opinion that they can win that game once we see how those two teams look early on in the season.
Absolutely.
If we can make some strides on that offensive line and our quarterback play looks significantly different than what we saw last year, then there's a chance we go in there and we win comfortably.
If our offensive line looks good, Eric, I mean, if they come out and they play well, this is a team that for the first time under Ryan Day does not have to depend on a quarterback to win the game.
Correct.
That is a huge, huge thing.
But he coached like that last year, unfortunately.
Yes.
Okay. I don't want him coaching like that, which is, I think, why Chip Kelly is so important to this team, is it takes that away from him, okay? Being conservative and relying on the defense so much. Now, there are times where he needs to override Chip and say, hey, now's not the time to push the gas here. Let's be smart about this play call here. But, you know, at the end of the day, I want Chip calling plays, not Ryan, for that very reason. So those were I wanted to bring that up, Jeremiah, because I do think it's too early right now to put that kind of, I guess, bet on my head on that. But I'm just saying, if there's a game, like, I'll be honest, I think the game in Eugene, Oregon is going to be more difficult for this team than the game in Pennsylvania against Penn State.
Oh, I agree 100%.
And you know that environment's going to be crazy in Penn State. It's probably going to be a wide out. It's going to be, you know, all those – well, it might not. It might be a big noon kickoff. But you get my point, is it's the biggest game usually every other year for us as far as the road environment.
But here's the thing. Who's coaching Penn State?
James, 10-2 Franklin.
Yeah, and what's his record against Ohio State?
1-bad. It's not good. Not good at all. So I just wanted to bring those points up because looking at the season from where we stand now, that's the game I have circled. The one going to Eugene. Yeah, Jar of Happiness brings up a good point. Autzen Stadium, where good teams go to die, or whatever they said in NCAA 14. I remember them saying that. That's right. Yeah. Here's what's crazy. That stadium only seats 50,000 people. It's half the size of the Shoe. It's not a monstrosity, but they pack it out, and they're loud, and they are crazy. And so that's going to be do the Buckeyes win in Unhappy Valley? Yes. Yes, they do. I have zero confidence that James Franklin's going to be able to draw up a game plan. Even when it's close, Jeremiah, James Franklin finds a way to screw it up for his team.
He couldn't beat Ryan Day. You think he's going to beat Ryan Day and Chip Kelly? Come on.
And Jim Knowles, my man.
Yeah, let's not forget JT Tumaluau.
They're having bad nightmares about him, aren't they?
They sure are.
He has his best games against Penn State, hands down. Hands down. So I just feel like that's what we need to look at if we're gonna look out that far. But looking at spring game this Saturday, guys, we are going to have a tailgate at the Shoe. Chris and I are going to go there super early. We'll be there super early setting up. Great opportunity to meet everybody, say hi. We'll see if we can't find a spot with some grass to hang out, bring some chairs, chill out with everybody, hang out after the game too. Because here's the thing. The closer you park to the stadium, the harder it is to get out of there.
We might have to bring some hot dogs or something to throw on the grill afterwards, Eric.
We might just be hanging out after. Like, we'll hang out before the game with everybody. We always have a good time with everybody before the game too, before we jump into the stadium.
Yeah.
But we're going to hang out afterwards too, because I just, quite frankly, I don't want to battle the traffic. I just want to hang out, talk about the game, see how you all thought about it, come over the tailgate after the spring game as well. It is on Jay, looking forward to meeting you next weekend, Eric. Jay and I have known each other for decades. You said it, St. John. That's right. We'll probably be somewhere around St. John, Eric. Again, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We will let you all know on our social where we are at when we get there and we get set up right away. We'll let all of you guys know. So make sure you're following us on Twitter and or Facebook, and we'll post pictures so you guys know exactly where we're at. Big announcement coming Tuesday. So Chris and I will be live Tuesday night. We're coming live again, doing a quick show Tuesday night. Going to be announcing the big news to all of you on what is the next chapter here at the OHIO podcast. And, of course, Thursday night is our live call-in show. We had a phenomenal call-in show this past Thursday.
Yeah, it was great. I hope we can get – if we can get half that much energy out of the callers, we're going to have a great, great show again this week. I'm telling
yes,
you.
We are. So
now, are we going to do something Saturday after the game, or are we going to do a?
I mean, this is a huge week for the Ohio State. We, Chris and I, might do a call-in show Saturday night. See what you all thought, because we're not going to do videos like we did last year. We're not going to do videos. We're just going to hang out and meet everybody and talk and have fun. Last year, I felt like I was hosting more than I was enjoying the actual tailgate. I actually want to enjoy the tailgate this year and have fun, just talk with people. We know Wargo is going to be there, so Wargo will be coming. A lot of you, Eric Osbeck. Eric, please don't say you are hitting the transfer portal. I'm not hitting the transfer portal, brother. Don't you worry. In fact, I do need to apologize to all of you. I have not had time to write an article. I haven't been making very many posts on our social media accounts. It's because I've been working my guts out on this next project, and I'm so stoked to bring it to all of you.
But we will be posting articles again soon.
Yes.
Both of us.
Yeah. Everything is going to be enhanced around here big time. And so looking forward to making that announcement for all of you. So Tuesday night, we're going to go live 8. What do you think, Chris? That work?
Tuesday night? Yeah, we can do 8 o'clock Tuesday night. Absolutely.
Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. Call-in show Thursday night, 8 o'clock. We'll see. We might do a call-in show Saturday night if we can get home in time and relax before we do that. But we are not hitting the portal. Don't you worry. Anything else, my man, before we head out of here?
No, man, I'm just psyched. About the upcoming season. Psyched about the spring game. Psyched about the tailgate. Psyched about going out to Ryan's football camp. Man, I mean, we've just got so much going on this summer. Psyched about what's going to happen Tuesday.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, just, I mean, it's a great time to be a Buckeye fan. It's a great time to be a member of the OHIO podcast. There's just so much going on that it's just, I'm overwhelmed, man.
Thank you, Donald and Karen Rosbach. I really do appreciate that. We've been pushing your show on Scoop, trying to get the rest of us to support you guys too. Really do appreciate that. Scoop, we like those guys. We've had him on the show as a guest.
Had Kirk on before, yeah.
We've had Kirk on. We love his content. We're not trying to compete with him. We're not doing what he's doing. He does a great thing. And so if we can just partner in that aspect and be kind of that, I guess, catch all after you guys are done with your show, we're happy with that, man. Really do appreciate that. So thank you very much. Yeah, Jeremiah, OHIO, brother. Hope to see you at the spring game if you're coming out, my man. Like to meet you. I think that's it. So have a good night, everybody. We will be back Tuesday night. Big announcement, 8 o'clock. Don't miss it. Thank you, Jeremy Thomas. I saw he said just became a member. Thank you, Jeremy. That's number 11. So we have 11 new members now. That's the best way to help the show. Become a member. So give us monthly support that way, $3.99. Also, you can always hit us up with Super Chats, things like that. Go buy something from the store. That helps Chris out, my man over there. He gets all the proceeds from that. If it's not OHIO certified stuff, if it's Ohio State stuff, he gets the benefit from
that. It will be coming soon.
That will be coming soon. That's right. So there you have it, guys. All right. Till next time, be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH. Sing Carmen High with all your heart. OH!
I owe.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.